Hey, my friends, it's Tom with Watchin' River. Thanks for joining me today. I appreciate you guys. I hope you're well. Another day the Lord has made for us to serve Him. But it's a very troubling day for Americans today. We'll get to that. First, I think we just need to go to Scripture. Let's go to Psalm 23. Okay, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All praise be to God for Jesus, because He paid the price that we will be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, as I said, today is a troubling day in America. A tragedy struck Baltimore, Maryland. You've probably heard of it by now. The Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed after it was hit into by a ship. They're calling it a mass casualty event. There are people, cars in the water, and just have to pray for those people and pray for the families that will be affected forever over this tragedy. Thank God it happened at 1:30 in the morning and not at rush hour. It's terrible, terrible tragedy. We just pray for these people and their families. They're saying somewhere between 7 and 20 people as of right now, it looks like, may have lost their life. And while we pray for the people of this tragedy, I can't help but take notice of a few things that are very troubling for America. You know, yesterday, the United States turned its back on Israel again. I'll cover that story in a few minutes, but people were writing to me telling me, Tom, look what the United States did to Israel. And I would just reply with, watch out, watch the weather. So interesting that the bridge that collapsed in Baltimore is named the Francis Scott Key Bridge, because he's the composer of the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem. I believe we're witnessing the collapse of America. And please, I don't mean to tie the tragedy of a collapsed bridge and tie it to the collapse of America in a light-hearted way, because so many people were affected by this. It's terrible tragedy. We need to pray for those people. I know I keep saying it, but I hate when I see the loss of life due to these tragedies. But America is changing quickly. The same night that the United States betrays Israel is the same night of this terrible tragedy. Is that a coincidence? I don't know. Probably not. We're in the very last days. We're watching Bible prophecy unfold right before our eyes. And everyone has turned their back on Israel. Everyone. As prophesied. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. Skip down to verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Just interesting. As we turn our backs on Israel, this terrible tragedy happens last night, 2 weeks from this great American solar eclipse that's going to happen that appears to draw an X over the United States. The first part of the X was 2017, that eclipse. And this one, 7 years later, goes in the opposite direction to make an X over America. I believe America is falling quickly. Don't like to say that, but I believe it is. Now, do I think this eclipse is anything? I don't know. All I say to people who ask me about this eclipse is, I don't think it's the day of the rapture. Many people are saying that. April 8th, we're getting raptured. April 8th. You know what? We may wake up on April 9th. I don't think it's the day of the rapture. I think it's a sign of the judgment against America. I really do think it is a sign. But I don't think it's the day of the rapture. Now, could it be? You know the way I am. I really literally believe the 7-year tribulation could start tomorrow. So I'm looking up every day. So if it's April 7th and we're here, and then I wake up on April 8th, am I going to say, could the rapture happen today? Yes, it could. But I am not thinking the rapture is April 8th. I'm thinking I don't know what's going to go on that day. Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just an eclipse. But I happen to think it is a sign of coming judgment. Maybe the judgment will be a year after that. Maybe the judgment will be a week after that. 7 days, 40 days. I don't know. I'd be just making stuff up if I told you I knew. But God will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse it. And the whole world has turned their back on Israel. And that's major. We're in the very last days. So I'm going to just tell you what some of the stuff I saw about this bridge collapse. They said the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, they said there were more than 10 vehicles on the bridge at the time. Now, this, I don't think all this is verified yet. This was kind of a couple hours after it happened, but they said that there were more than 10 vehicles on the bridge. They said there were 7 construction workers and 3 to 4 civilians on the bridge when it collapsed. That's what they're saying early on. Can't verify that yet. It's too early. Course logs reveal that the Singaporean container ship Dali, that's the one that struck it. I find that very interesting because there's a painter. This is just conjecture. There's a painter called Salvador Dali. I don't know if you guys know his work, but it's, dude was pretty evil. Like his work's pretty, it's interesting to look at, but he was a pretty evil dude. I just found it interesting that the ship was called Dali that crashes into the, you know, the Francis Scott Key National Anthem Composer Bridge. I don't know, just something I observed. But they said that the course logs reveal that the Singaporean container ship Dali, which struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, changed its course 2 minutes prior to colliding with the bridge, and they were dealing with a temporary loss of power, but they regained power prior to striking the bridge. Very interesting course it took. I don't know what they were dealing with, but they took a strange course, and you can see there's video that shows the lights go out in the ship. You also see plumes of smoke. I don't know if that was the natural part of the ship. And then the lights come back on, and then it strikes the bridge. Don't know. We'll find out, maybe. They pulled a couple people from the water, I heard, early this morning. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes from there. This is from the Times of Israel. This is what went on yesterday. The UN Security Council passes a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza as the U.S. withholds their veto. Now, in the past, the U.S. always vetoed, because we were Israel's closest ally, they always vetoed these kind of things. Not yesterday. not yesterday. The United Nations Security Council passes a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip and the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages after the United States withholds its veto and abstains from the vote. So we didn't vote for it, we abstained. But once we did that, it passed. The remaining 14 council members vote for the resolution, which was proposed by the 10 elected members of the body. This is the first time that the Security Council has passed a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza since the start of the war. Washington had been averse to the word ceasefire earlier in the six-month-old war in the Gaza Strip and had used its veto power to block previous resolutions. The resolution demands an immediate ceasefire for the month of Ramadan, respected by all parties, leading to a lasting, sustainable ceasefire, and also demands the immediate and unconditional release of all the hostages. Well, no, you just empowered Hamas. You think they're going to release the hostages now? You kidding me? Bubba News shared this, and he said, "The UN Security Council ceasefire resolution will raise international pressure on Israel while Hamas will ignore the demand to release the hostages. The resolution issues a ceasefire call that Israel will now be pressured by the international community to heed, while Hamas will ignore the demand to unconditionally free the Israeli hostages." And nobody will call them out on that, by the way. However, the Biden administration tries to spin it. The non-veto constitutes a significant deterioration in its fraying ties with Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu's coalition, but with consequences for the entire Israeli nation. Today's vote weakens Israel's capacity to complete and dismantling of Hamas's war machine, and it emboldens Israel's enemies. However, to appease Israel, the U.S. says the ceasefire resolution is non-binding, so there's no impact at all on Israel's ability to continue to go after Hamas. And then Bubba said, gaslighting 101. There you go. There you go. Now, Netanyahu had a delegation trip. He was going to send some people here, and he canceled that. He threatened before the vote yesterday, if you abstain from voting for this, I will not send that coalition. And that's exactly what happened. Netanyahu cancels Israeli delegation's trip to Washington after the U.S. fails to veto a U.N. ceasefire resolution. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he will no longer send a delegation of top officials to Washington this week after President Biden's administration failed to veto the U.N. resolution. The delegation was scheduled to discuss potential compromises for an invasion of Rafah, a final foothold for Hamas in Gaza. The Israeli leader issued an ultimatum to the U.S. warning that he would cancel the meeting if the U.S. did not veto Monday's U.N. resolution. The U.S. abstained rather than vetoing, allowing the resolution to pass. And here's a quote. "The U.S. did not veto today the new text that calls for a ceasefire without the condition of releasing the abductees," Netanyahu's office said in a statement. "This is a clear withdrawal from the U.S. Consistent position in the Security Council since the beginning of the war. This withdrawal damages both the war effort and the effort to release the hostages because it gives Hamas hope that international pressure will allow them to accept the ceasefire without the release of our hostages," Israel Today said. "As expected, Hamas is greatly encouraged by the events at the UN Security Council yesterday, in particular the Biden administration's decision not to veto a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. As we've noted before, in order to win, all Hamas needs to do is to hold on and survive. And now America has confirmed that it is true by siding closer to those determined to save Hamas and tie Israel's hands. Given this, Hamas this morning predictably rejected all current hostage ceasefire proposals and demanded an immediate full ceasefire and withdrawal of all Israeli troops from Gaza. Only then will it talk about a hostage deal. The world, including America, has played right into their hands." Yes, they have. Amir Sarfati said, "The United States administration basically said that Hamas can stay in power and that the hostages are not to be released. Big blow for Netanyahu. Great win for Hamas. Terror pays off. In this world, in the last days, the terrorists appear to win. There is one small problem, though. God enters into this very soon, and he will eliminate the inner ring of enemies that Israel has. Look at Psalm 83. Also, Amir said, all we need to know about the U.S. and the U.N. Security Council is that Hamas is happy with their decision, and that says it all.
True.
And then we got... this is from Insider Paper. The White House is perplexed by scrapped Israeli visit. Israel scrapped the visit after the United States abstained from a UN Security Council vote demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, a move that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said hurt Israel's fight against the Palestinian militant group Hamas. We're kind of perplexed. We're kind of perplexed by the cancellation, National Security Council spokesman John Kirby told journalists, saying it seems like the Prime Minister's office is choosing to create a perception of daylight here when they don't need to. Oh. Kirby had earlier said Washington was very disappointed the delegation would not be visiting and that the Security Council abstention does not represent a shift in U.S. policy. Really? And in case you guys, look, you know, you guys all think I get political, but I'm going to cover all sides of the American politics anyway. Just in case you're all thinking, well, don't worry, Trump's going to come in and fix all of this. Do you know that Trump yesterday told Israel, stop, it's time to stop. He turned his back on Israel too. Do you see? When we read that, Zechariah, like the whole world turns their back on Israel and we're watching it. And you know what that means? Our redemption draws near. We're close to the pre-tribulation rapture of a church, Jesus' church, the people that belong to him. All right, this is from the Jerusalem Post. Gallant, if the IDF ends the Gaza war early, Hezbollah will start the next war sooner. No doubt. He said on Monday that if the IDF ends the war in Gaza prematurely, this will likely lead to Hezbollah being more audacious about launching a larger attack against Israel from the north. Gallant said there is no moral basis for stopping the war until we return home all of the hostages. If we do not achieve a decisive and absolute victory in Gaza, a bigger war in the north will come closer. From JNS, it said, Hezbollah's offensive would be October 7th on steroids. Thousands of rockets, thousands of casualties, and devastating strikes to major infrastructure, cutting off water and electricity to Israel's citizens. This is the likely scenario of an attack by Hezbollah across the Jewish state's northern border. Israel appears to be, according to the world, they're up the creek. When you look at this, when you look at a country the size of New Jersey that's surrounded by enemies and the entire world is against them, you know, if I didn't believe in God, I'd be like, Israel has no hope. But don't you worry about Israel. It ain't going nowhere. It's going to go through rough times during the 7-year tribulation, very rough times. A lot of them are going to die, but they're not going to be wiped out. God has a plan for the remnant of those people. And we know that. So pray for those people. Pray for all the people over there. There was a 6.9 earthquake I talked about yesterday. And they said that 1,000 homes were destroyed in that earthquake. At least five people dead as of when I read this. That was a pretty strong earthquake. There was pretty light earthquake day in the last 24 hours compared to yesterday. 34 over 4.0, 3 over 5.0. All right. I'm not really in the mood to go to Clown World, but, you know, I know you guys, you count on Clown World to lighten up the conversation a little, so I will take a very quick stroll into Clown World, okay? This is from Bloomberg. Artificial intelligence will suck up to 500% more power in the UK in 10 years. the grid CEO says. Electricity demand from UK data centers will jump sixfold over the next 10 years as a boom in artificial intelligence requires increased computing power, according to the head of the National Grid. So, you know, these people who are always threatening around the world, blackouts, you know, we just don't have enough power for all you people who need power. You may face brownouts or blackouts soon, are the same people who are saying, and you're not going to drive any fuel-driven cars. You are going to drive electric cars. But you're threatening blackouts, and now you're saying we're all going to drive electric cars? Oh, yeah, and AI is going to take 500% more power. I'll trust Jesus, thank you. I'll just have water, and I'll trust Jesus, okay? I don't want anything to do with you guys, all right? I'm done with this world. Quite frankly, I'm done with this world. I think most of you are, too. Done. Done, 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 done. Stick a fork in it. I'm ready for Jesus. Let's do a couple testimonies of the day. Retro Reviews. I grew up in a secular home in Central Ohio. The only time I heard Jesus or God was as a curse word. But in 1991, at the age of 16, in my bedroom watching TV, as I flipped through the channels, I came across a man, Rod Parsley. I never heard of him. He was preaching about Jesus. That was the first time I learned I was a sinner and about what Jesus did for me and my need to believe on him and accept him as my Savior. That was when and where I became a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 16 years old. Amazing. Praise God. Sunshine, my testimony. I was saved when I was 9 years old. I've done some really stupid things in my life, but the Holy Spirit has always been with me, guiding me quickly back to my Creator. I'm so grateful to have heard the true gospel so young. And though I disappoint myself daily, He loves me and He will never leave me. I don't deserve His love and the blessings in my life, but He never ceases to amaze me with His love and His grace. I'm with you. Amen. Amen. This is an interesting one. Listen to this. Lori. As a child, I believed in Jesus. Unfortunately, I did not grow up with any Christian influence, and I lived a very worldly life. 2 years ago, I became very perplexed and frightened around the trucker stand event in Canada and consequent political behavior. After reading a blog post on something or other, I scrolled down to the comments section and I found my way again. A man had written, and I quote, "I'm not afraid of any of this because of," and he put a link there. So naturally, being curious as to why he had no fear, I followed the link. It led me to Jesus and understanding. If you think you cannot reach people, you certainly can. People are perplexed and they're looking for answers. Now I repeat his action using his same quote. God bless this man. Now I am joyful despite this corrupt world, waiting to go home. Thank you, Jesus. This believer, Lori, comes to the Lord because somebody just shares a link to something, whatever it was, to do with Jesus. Amazing. Amazing. I bet you Lori's going to find that guy in heaven and say, thank you for sharing that link when I was lost and scared. Amazing. Here's a comment. Nancy, I was saved in 1979, but on Sunday night, something hit I've never felt before. This is over soon. My son called Monday morning and said, you felt that too? I hear four snorting horses pawing at the ground. The riders are saddling up. We are there sooner than ever. I agree, Nancy. We all know it. I agree. We all know it. Nick, I'm young. I'm only 20 years old. I've seen the world fall very far, even in my lifetime. I'm happy to be saved by the Lord. Praise God. Praise God, brother. Vanessa, all my hope lies in this, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I am a sinner. I trust him. Then he came to save me, and I'm saved. There is only one secure foundation, a genuine, deep relationship with Jesus Christ, which will carry you through any and all turmoil. Amen, sister. Amen. Georgina, I was talking to my daughter about this today. There's an eeriness, there's a darkness and heaviness, and for some, a feeling of hopelessness. I thought it was just me, but Jesus is coming very, very soon. Maranatha, God bless you all, brothers and sisters. See you all soon. Amen, Georgina. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. You know, anyone hearing all this thing, all these testimonies and these comments, we're not playing a game. This isn't some game. You know, let's hype up the end of the world. Let's just all get hyped together. This isn't a game. I've been accused by my accusers of coming to this river to play a game. Oh, he needed a new gig, so he went down to the river. This isn't a game. I came here to watch and to warn, to say he is coming soon. And that's what I'm doing here every day. And it's not a game to me. It's very, very serious. I really do believe we're in the very last days. I have no agenda to lie to you about this would be me not belonging to the Lord. My agenda is Jesus and his soon coming, his rapture of the church. Because we've watched every single sign ramp up and we're waiting for the rapture. It could happen any day. But what does it matter if you don't know Jesus? If you don't know Jesus, what we're talking about, all of us crazy people in the Watchman River family, we're talking about something that is going to affect you so terribly if you don't know what Jesus did. If you don't belong to Jesus, you're in huge trouble. And everything we're talking about, you see all the comments in our community. We're all filled with joy. Most of us are filled with joy waiting for Jesus. But what's awaiting you if you don't know Jesus is horrendous. The worst time period to be alive since the creation of mankind is coming upon this world very soon. We always talk about the rapture. Well, you know what? When we're gone after the rapture, it's the 7-year tribulation. It's the worst time to be alive. And if you keep putting off knowing what Jesus did for you, you are literally going to be here for that time period. And you're going to think back to this video and go, why didn't I take it more serious? Jesus came here 2,000 years ago. Came to this world. He put on human flesh. And in order to come here, he left a throne in heaven. You say, well, why did he come here? He came here to shed his blood. He came here knowing he would be nailed to a cross. He came here knowing he would shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And we all have a problem. We live in a broken world and mankind is broken. We sin. And when we sin, we earn death. But Jesus fixed that problem 2,000 years ago. I always tell you guys, it's the greatest event that's ever happened or ever will. The miracle that God sent his only begotten son to put on human flesh and walk perfectly, and he never sinned once. He was perfect. He's the perfect sacrifice. Jesus is the perfect lamb. And you know, when he went to that cross, after he was brutalized, when he went to that cross, do you know that every sin you have ever committed was placed on Jesus? Every single sin you have ever committed was placed on him. And he shed blood that has power to completely cure the sin problem for every person that's ever lived. The blood has the power to forgive every sin that has ever been committed. But you know what? You have to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, your sins stay with you. But if you believe in the power of Jesus' blood and you say, Lord, I have faith in the blood. I know my sins are gone. I'm washed white as snow because I believe in the blood you shed for me. And I believe in your finished work, Jesus. I believe you came here and you were the only begotten Son of God and you lived perfectly and they nailed you to the cross and you died and you were buried and you rose again the third day. I believe that. When you believe in the power of the blood and in Jesus' finished work on the cross and the resurrection, you're saved. You're saved. You're born again. God will put his Holy Spirit in you. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. You're rapture ready. He'll never let you out of the palm of his hand. How beautiful is that? 2,000 years ago, a rescue plan happened that affects your life today. But we all have to make that decision that is, by far, bar none, the most important decision of your life. The world will tell you, don't worry about that. Oh, you don't need that. There's 100 paths to heaven. Telling you there's one path to heaven, Jesus. He said when he walked the earth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but by me. There's one path, it's Jesus. That thing that happened 2,000 years ago is the last and only payment for sin. That's your shot, trusting in the blood of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world, trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ and in believing in his finished work. That's your ticket to heaven. But if you say right now, okay, Tom, I heard you out. I heard this whole thing. I got to tell you, I don't need this. I'm okay. Just let me go raise my family. You know, I know the world's troubled, but it'll be okay. We'll get through this. It's a bump in the road. We'll be fine. I'm just going to raise my family. I don't need Jesus or his blood. You will kneel before Jesus. And it will be the most horrible moment of your existence. Because if you reject this message till the day you die, you will kneel before him on judgment day. And you'll know you're in huge trouble because your sins are still with you. Because you rejected the payment for them. And Jesus will say, away from me, I never knew you. I can't imagine kneeling before the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, and having him say that. It's terrifying. And you're thinking at that moment, what's going to happen now? Where am I going? But you kind of know it. You're heading to eternal separation from everything that is God, everything that is good. And it's not a party. Satan loves to get you to think that hell's like rough around the edges and you're going to be playing cards and smoking and cranking the tunes. No. It's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's darkness beyond any darkness you can imagine here on earth because it's the complete lack of God. Everything God is not present there. And everything you love about this earth, all the good food and the good weather and everything you love in this, it's a gift from God. That gift isn't in hell. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. But if you hear that Jesus died and paid for your sins with his blood, and you're like, I don't need that, then you end up there because you're choosing it. God's not sending you there. You're choosing it. You're saying, I don't want to believe that, Tom. I don't want to believe in the blood of Jesus. I don't want to believe that Jesus went to a cross and resurrected. It's a fairy tale. Then you're choosing hell, and you'll know it that day. You're not going to walk away from Jesus saying, you're unfair. You're going to say you're a fair and just God. But why do that? Choose Jesus today. Just believe in what he did. Believe in that payment for your sin. That's all I got for you. Now it's up to you if you don't believe. Now it's up to you. I always recommend this. I always recommend if you don't believe or if you hear this and you're like, I just don't know what this is about, then pick up a Bible, go to the book of John, and before you read it, just bow your head and say, you know what, Jesus, I don't really believe any of this. I don't really believe in you. So if you're real, reveal yourself to me and then open the book and start reading it. And you know what? Maybe nothing will happen. but maybe you'll gain eternal life. It's worth your time to seek his face. It's worth your time. You're not wasting a moment doing it. All right. I'm going to shut the camera off now, and I'm going to say a prayer for every person that watches this video. And if we're not raptured today, and you know what? Today is a perfectly good day for the rapture. But if we're not, God willing, I will see you guys tomorrow. I love you guys.